Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking First Cut. Golly!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the First Cut Podcast. This is your round 3 recap of the Cognizant Classic. I'm your host, Patrick McDonald, and I am joined by Greg Ducharme. Greg, how is your Saturday going?
Oh, fantastic Saturday, all in all. I love watching golf at PGA National. It's so cool. And I would love to see a really high level field here, like if they elevated this event. I know it probably doesn't fit in the schedule, but it's just such a cool golf course. And for the reasons that we love it, the PGA Tour players don't necessarily, because you're hanging on for dear life, it feels like, the entire time. But what I love about it, Patrick, is these shots are, while they're so challenging and so penal if you miss, they're fair and you can execute. And you see a lot of these guys near the top of the leaderboard give themselves a lot of looks at birdie. And it makes it for a really fun watch.
I too love watching golf at PGA National and the entire Florida Swing. One, because we can podcast at 5:45 in the afternoon and not 9 p.m. at night. And two, like you said, there's just so much variance out there. And we saw a bunch of that today. But not so much in the morning with some of these early movers that we have. Some big names: Ben Silverman, 5 under 66. Jacob Bridgman, your boy, you were talking up his golf swing. In the green room before the 6 under 65. Russell Henley, a popular one and done selection of many of the viewers, making a lot of people happy right now with a 6 under 65 to kind of get himself in the mix. I believe he is at 8 under for the tournament. And so I think the one we should probably touch on is Russell Henley out of those three, a winner at this golf course before, moves up 41 spots with his round 3 performance and kind of gives himself an outside chance going into Sunday.
Yeah. It's another thing you love about golf at PGA National. You know, you go shoot 65 early in the morning, 6 under par, and all of a sudden you can move up 41 spots. You know, that's really cool. But today's round from Russell Henley is highlighted by a blazing hot start. He got off to 4 birdies in a row, which is really the area of the golf course where you need to get it going, because it's pretty difficult after that. And after that stretch, he takes care of the 2 par 5s, 10 and 18, and adds a bonus at 15. But the cool thing about Russell Henley today is it was the same kind of iron play that we always see from him, where he's hitting it in there consistently to 15 feet, 20 feet, 10 feet. Like, he is in that range all day. And he made a bunch of them today. That mid-range area for him, when it gets going, he can go really low. And, it's a cliche saying, but he's not afraid of going low. When he starts making a bunch of birdies, all he wants is more. So it was cool to see him get off to that start today and finish it off with a really nice 33 on the back nine as well.
Yeah, I do wonder if there isn't a little bit of disappointment in those first two rounds in particular. We think about Russell Henley. We think about a very accurate driver and a great iron player. Russell Henley is gaining 7 strokes on the field with the putter. which is bonkers for Russell Henley. And for him not to marry that with the typically reliable approach play, I can't help but think there's probably a little bit of disappointment in the Henley camp because of that.
Yeah, you know, he is losing strokes approaching the green. He hit it better today. I mean, mm-hmm. I know, but this is like he gains 1.7 strokes today. The typical Russell Henley performance is you do that across every round. And in the first two rounds, he loses strokes. He only hit 12 greens in the first two rounds. Today was able to hit 16. And it just kind of gives himself, he gave himself today those opportunities where you don't have to make all your 15 footers, but they're all for birdie. And you got so many of them. And whereas in the first couple rounds, he has one or two. And when they don't go in, it crushes your round because you just don't have the opportunities. But today he did, and he took advantage.
Another player to take advantage of the conditions early is one, Josh, get ready for this, Ricky Fowler.
Ricky and Fowler.
There we go. Ricky, back-to-back 67s after opening with an even round, round of even par on Thursday. He was one of those guys who was probably in the worst of it in terms of conditions, being out there late Thursday and early Friday in the windiest of it, so to speak. But he's battled back really nicely these last 2 days. They're at 8 under, only 5 strokes off the lead. Another previous champion at this golf course. He's come close as well a couple other times. And Ricky Fowler, he's been, to put it bluntly, pretty poor since his win at the 2023 Rocket Mortgage Classic. You think about kind of a middling playoff there, a poor Ryder Cup where he was battling the sniffles, and just a bad West Coast swing where he really couldn't get anything going in his game. But the switch to Florida and then transition to the Honda Classic or the Cognizant Classic is proving to maybe be the medicine that Ricky needed.
I have a hard time with Ricky Fowler for a couple reasons. One, his golf swing looks so much better. You know, it's on plane now. It's so much cleaner. It's so simple. And he has this tendency to make big mistakes at bad times. It kind of derails his rounds. He can have a tendency to be like a little bit of a letdown kind of player. Where, even this week, he did it yesterday. I mean, he's 6 under with 4 holes to go and makes 2 bogeys in his last 4 holes. And it's just like disappointing. Today's round, he makes 6 birdies and plays phenomenal golf. And then there's just this little letdown at 5. He plays it away from the water, leaves himself an easy up and down, and doesn't get it up and down, right? Misses a shorty, which he's been better with this week. Then at 15, hits it on the green, avoids the mistake of hitting it in the water there. And he doesn't hit it in the back bunkers either. Hits it on the green and 3 putts. And these are the kind of things that just leave you wanting with Ricky. And that's where his game has been for quite some time. But I love where he is with the golf swing. And he's got to eliminate those mistakes so we can garner a little more momentum and, you know, get in the mix, get actually in this tournament, which he probably is right now sitting at 8 under par, but it's still a stretch. You could very easily see him at 11 or 12 under par. If you were nitpicky, he could be leading. But I think it'd be very, very fair to say he should probably be at 10 or 11 under right now.
Yeah, I think Sepp Straka came from 5 back, but there were some weird circumstances that year. I think Daniel Berger blew a big lead. The rain cloud late as well.
Yeah. Daniel Berger looked like David Berger Sunday, which was kind of out of the ordinary. And the rainstorm was one of the. Sepp hit a second shot into that in that rainstorm too. But that was one of the craziest circumstances I've ever seen in such a short period of time.
Yeah, I think Shane's drive went like 240 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
We will get into some of the afternoon wave. I still think Russ and Ricky have an outside chance. Not a not a good one, but an outside. We'll get into some of the afternoon wave, some of the guys who probably will win this golf tournament after a quick word from one of our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back. Minwoo Lee. The Minsiders are rejoicing. Eight birdies on moving day. 5 under 66. Really had the putter rolling today. That was the real difference, I think, in Minwoo's round compared to the other two. And he's someone who, kind of unlike the other big names, he's not in the signature events yet, right? He's struggled a little bit on the West Coast getting around these golf courses he hasn't seen before. He said he's putting way too much expectations on his shoulders, and he's finally realizing he has to live with the top 20 finish on an off week. So what did you make of Minwoo's round today?
Well, I think the round that Minwoo played today is emblematic of his style, where, look, this is not a Colin Morikawa, right? This is not a Scottie Scheffler type ball striker. He's got a great swing and he's got a lot of speed, but he can get a little wild at times. And that is something that obviously adds a little bit of stress, but at the same time, it allows Minwoo to be Minwoo. It allows him to shine and gather a little bit of momentum. So today's round was a little bit wild. I mean, he hit some great shots and he hit some poor shots. He made some bogeys, and you know, the birdie at 13 and 14, that's huge. You're heading right into the bear trap after making bogey at 12. And he goes in there and makes a really cool birdie at 13 after a wild tee shot. And gets it up there onto the front of the green and makes a really nice putt. And then at 14, hits it in the fairway and hits it inside of 5 feet. So that was a big stretch. And that adds a bonus birdie at 16, if you will. So I think Minwoo is, for some reason, I wouldn't expect him to play well in Florida because of that style. Yet he did play really well at the Players last year and is right here in the mix again this year.
Yeah, it is interesting because I am in the same boat. You think of Minwoo Lee, you think tons of power off the tee, but it could go probably anywhere. The iron play is not his strength. He's great around the greens, very creative, and he can get scorching hot with the putter. And with how much trouble is around PGA National, with that skill set, you wouldn't think it's conducive for his type of play. But here he is, 10 under, only three back. A lot on the line for someone like Minwoo, who, like I said, isn't into those events yet. And someone who we know can win big time events. I mean, he won the Scottish Open a few years back over Matt Fitzpatrick in a playoff. He won in Australia this winter. He popped there with Scottie Scheffler at the Players, like you said. He was there at the US Open too. And so he probably already is a star. I mean, social media loves him. The PGA Tour social team is slobbering all over him too. He got to play with Tua in the Pro-Am. But if this win comes, it only adds to kind of that name.
Yeah, it would add to it big time. And I would say normally with most players, he's got to hit some more greens tomorrow if he wants to have any chance at winning. But I'm not sure he does. I mean, he's got to hit more. Yesterday, he hit 8 greens. Okay, he's got to hit more than that. Today, he hit 10, but makes 8 birdies.
That's insane.
You know, so is that's unlikely to happen again. But at the same time, there's this flair for the dramatic that he seems to have. So I he's a hard one to figure out for me. But sitting 3 shots back of the lead with 2 players who have never won on the PGA Tour before, and Shane Lowry, it's thin up in front of you. You're in a tied for 4th, and you're only 3 back. You got a very good chance tomorrow.
Someone who was at that 10-under number during his back 9 looked like he was going to put a charge into this tournament, has been driving it on a string all week long, put the long tees out of his golf bag, mini tee, short tees only. Rory McIlroy, a day after going around the bear trap in 2-under. This time around, the bear bites back. Bogey from the greenside bunker on the 15th to drop to 9-under. Triple bogey 7. Josh put out a tweet from the First Cut Podcast Twitter account. He's had a triple bogey in every tournament on the PGA Tour so far this season. Likely undoes his chances for this tournament. He birdies the 18th, stands at 7-under, half a dozen back. But Greg, we talk about Ricky Fowler being a tease. It seems like Rory, he too is finding new ways to kind of play with you a little bit.
Yeah, but he has 24 wins, you know. So I don't quite go there with him. I think Rory's more of a case of he just puts himself in the mix so much and lives under the microscope so much more than most PGA Tour players. So this is what I was concerned with Rory coming into the week. It happened a whole lot later than I thought it might. And at this point, you know, it's not the thing that has really held him out of this event. The putter was ice cold today. It was ice cold. And that can be frustrating, and it can lead to poor decisions, and it can lead to, like on 16, he hits it, it's right of a right flag. You know, that's like, I got to hit it close to make a birdie. I got to hit it close because I'm not making anything. He consistently gives himself 15, 20 feet. Like there is so much patience throughout all 3 rounds of this tournament. And today, none of them fall. And for the first time, it's a bogey. I guess it's not the first time. He made a bogey at 1 yesterday, but made a birdie right away at 2 and 3. So look, this is disappointing. He didn't take advantage of number three. That was the first par five he didn't take advantage of all week. And it was just consistently missing 15 to 20 footers. And all of a sudden, you're one over par. And then you really think he's going to get it going. But a couple mistakes in the bear trap cost him.
I'm going to push back a little bit on you. And I said yesterday that I was very impressed with his patience, and I agree. It probably got tested there on the 16th, but he's 10 under. He just rattles off three birdies in a four-hole stretch. He makes a nice putt there on 10 after three putting the ninth for a bogey. And I think it's really just a lack of sharpness with the iron play that has really gotten to him this week. Because like you said there, Greg, when he's not hitting everything inside 20 feet, he's facing a ton of seems like 25 to 45 footers for birdie. And that really tests your patience. And then you have an iron game that isn't up to par for Rory McIlroy. And you come to 16, that's dangerous. Instead of just, you have all the room in the world to the left of it. And just missing that right is honestly, it's very, very kind of hard to believe for someone like Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, it's like the cardinal sin on that hole, right? Yeah. So is that over-aggressive? Is that a break in patience? Or is it just a sloppy shot altogether? I could see your point. I mean, he definitely has hit some loose iron shots this week. But at the same time, I've been impressed with the iron play. It's just been patient. And so I see where you're coming from. I'm not going to push back again.
what did you make of him trying to pull off Bill Haas circa, what year was that? 2000.
What was that? Yeah. You're in the neighborhood. I was going to say 10, 8 or 10.
No
not,
idea.
Not 9.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. But years ago. Well, it's obviously risky. I've always been told you just don't. Oh, there. Josh says 2011. So.
Okay. Paul in the chat says 2012. So we've sprinkled the board here. It's somewhere between 2009, 2008 and 2012, hopefully.
Okay. I trust Josh.
Okay.
We'll say 11. But I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Is it a bad decision? Probably not. You know, you probably got to go for that.
Yeah. Okay.
You agree?
Yeah, I think hindsight's obviously 20/20. I think it's, I don't know. I'm cool with him doing it. If he pulls it off and he blasts it 20 feet past, we're singing a different tune, obviously.
So. Yeah. And where are you going to, I mean, you make a double instead of a triple.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Let's get into some guys who have a chance to win. Let's see. Lots of people at that 10 under number. I mean, Party Marty Laird is in the mix somehow. Kevin Yu, 10 under. Victor Perez, one of those DP World Tour graduates, 10 under as well. I mean, we could go anywhere, honestly. But I think we should... You want to just go to the leaders? You want to go to the guys at the top?
Let's do it.
Okay. Three men stand atop the Cognizant Classic leaderboard at the moment at 13 under. You probably couldn't pick three more different men on the PGA Tour. You got PGA Tour sophomore Austin Eckroat after a 3-under 68. Open champion once upon a time Shane Lowry after a 5-under 66. And 42-year-old David Skins after firing that same round as well. The three of them, three clear of the field, heading into Sunday. Greg, who do you want to begin with? Sugar Shane Lowry?
Let's start with Austin Eckroat.
Let's start with Austin Eckroat. 3-under 68, out of the final group today. This is a guy who's kind of been, I think, simmering for the past, kind of since last summer. Held the 54-hole lead at the Byron Nelson that Jason Day won. held a share of the lead heading into the weekend at this year's Sony Open as well. Highly touted out of Oklahoma State, very young, the world in front of him, appears to have all the game in the world, and now he's in the final group Sunday looking for his first PGA Tour win.
Okay, so all the top 10s that he's had in on the PGA Tour, it's been four. He has shot 365s and a 68 on Sunday. Really good stuff. I mean, you look at Corrales Punta Cana, he shot 66, 68 over the weekend. AT&T Byron Nelson, you mentioned, he had the 54-hole lead, shot 63, 65 over the weekend. I mean, that's pretty good golf. I know he didn't win, but that's pretty darn good golf. The U.S. Open at LACC, 73, 65 over the weekend. And the RSM Classic this year, 66, 65 over the weekend. So, look, some guys are he's too young to really put a mark on him like this. But some guys have the ability to pop on the PGA Tour. And so far, he's been a popper. That's why he kept his card last year. But the thing that separates the poppers from... You know, the thing that makes it work for a popper is when you can finish it off and you can go play a great round on Sunday. And he's shown that when he's in the mix, he's not afraid to go get it. I think his game suits this golf course really well. He's a very accurate driver of the golf ball and has shown that this week as well. I'm impressed with his game. I wouldn't be surprised to see him put together a great score tomorrow. I don't expect to see him go away. I'm not sure he's going to win, but I don't expect to see him fade away.
I think I agree with that statement. Who are some of the other poppers on the PGA Tour? Would you say Nick Taylor is a popper?
Yeah, a little more consistent.
Okay.
Right. Like,
yeah,
there was a time when Tom Hoagie was a popper.
Okay.
Full. He's gotten a little more consistent too. He's gotten better.
I got one for you. Yeah. Jim Herman, popper, first team all popper.
The ultimate.
Okay.
The ultimate, gosh. Right? He doesn't get in the mix and he wins. Cam Champ is a popper.
That's a good one too.
Right? He has a little more talent, so it doesn't really fit the mold. But you have these are going a couple years back when I was first, developing this idea. You had Austin Cook. And he was just would pop off and he's in contention again. Andrew Landry. Uh-oh. All of a sudden, he's going toe to toe on the 72nd hole with somebody trying to win. And then they're missing a lot of cuts outside of that. But that's the way that you can keep you need a couple good weeks. You know, we're going to talk about Shane Lowry at some point. He was not a popper last year on the PGA Tour, and that's why he didn't make the playoffs.
Here's a good trivia question for you for
okay
Andrew Landry. And I will say it does somewhat tie to Shane Lowry, but maybe not in the way you'd expect.
Okay.
Andrew Landry held the first round lead at what major championship?
I see the trick. You would think 2019 Open, but that was not it. It was the 2016 U.S. Open at Oakmont.
Ding, 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 ding. Well done, Greg. Yep. Well done.
Yep.
A big hitter, a big popper like Andrew Landry taking down Open. Pittsburgh's finest.
Yep.
What a weird leaderboard that was. Scott Piercy, too, in the mix.
Craziness.
He's a popper, too, Scott Piercy.
Yeah, we haven't seen quite as many pops the last couple of years.
He had the 3M before the blister happened.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. Remember that? I didn't see it going that way. Similar golf course to this one, by the way.
It is a lot of trouble. All right, let's get into Shane Lowry. 5 under 66. Tied for the lead. He's playing in one of the final two groups. I think they're going off in threesomes tomorrow, potentially. I could be wrong. Don't hold me to it. But this is the third straight year that Shane Lowry will play in one of the final two groups Sunday at PGA National. 2022 resulted in a runner-up finish, which we touched on before. Last year, he finished inside the top five as well. Shane Lowry, major champion. He won the BMW PGA Championship the week the Queen passed away. God bless her. And a winner of a World Golf Championship as well. He has everything on his resume, but it's been since 2015 since he's gotten it done in the States somehow. What's your temperature on Sugar Shane Lowry?
Quite good. It has been for quite some time. You know, like I mentioned last year, he didn't make the FedEx Cup playoffs, but played really quite well. You know, he played 18 events. He had 9 top 25s and finishes 78th in the FedEx Cup. His only top 10 was here at the Honda Classic. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple reasons why he seems to find success here. But as it comes to today's round, he hits him, he stuffs it at number one, which kind of gets things rolling. And he's a wonderful iron player and has this ability to, he just sees a trajectory and is able to hit it. There's not a lot of thought that goes into it. Not a lot of mechanical work or technique, a little setup adjustment, see the shot and hit it. And when a golf course like this presents some wind, which changed throughout the day a little bit, presents some gusts and you got to flight the ball a little bit, his creativity, his assets rise to the forefront. And that's why you're seeing him lead the field in strokes gained approach today. But it just feels like there's a little bit of magic going on with him. You think about the up and down, if you want to call it that, the par save at number 8 today.
Mm.
Not many guys have made par this week after hitting it in the water. He hit it in the water off the tee, left of 8, takes a drop and hits it in there to 4 feet. And that kind of ability with the approach shots is a separator. And then you look at what happens on the greens. And Florida golf has flatter greens. And it presents a big opportunity for some guys that may struggle on the greens to get it rolling and compete. And that's, I think, why Shane Lowry, those two things are the reason Shane Lowry's had so much success here.
I think that's a good assessment, especially given his relative struggles on the West Coast these past few years. He always seems to just get it going at PGA National no matter what and really turn his season around. You look back at 2022, what he did following the Honda Classic and putting together a really good season. Last year, obviously, not his best work. He is in the field next week for the API. He was one of the sponsors' invites. That's a completely different conversation. But if he gets in through his own qualification, his own qualifying, that does give way for another sponsor's invite to get in, whoever they give that to, probably someone on the board. But like you said, the iron play has just been dynamite today. And the one drop shot was he missed a putt from like 2.5 feet, 3 feet.
Yeah, 13. Hey, you know, an easy up and down and hits a fine chip and misses it, which is kind of a killer, right? He did miss a couple shorties today, beyond just the one at 13, but adds the birdie at 16 and 18. This is looking really good for Shane Lowry right now. He's got to love the position he's in.
He must. And someone who finds himself in that same position for the first time in his career at age 42, first time holding a lead after any round of a PGA Tour event, the Englishman, David Skins. To say this has come out of nowhere, I believe would be an understatement. 1,000-1 pre-tournament. He's played in 32 PGA Tour events, Greg. He's made 13 cuts. His best career finish, the RSM Classic a couple years back, T29. 3 wins on the Korn Ferry Tour. Has got him back on the PGA Tour. A former, I believe he drove for Uber Eats potentially during the pandemic. We had the former bouncer and Jake Knapp win last week. Is this the new trend on the PGA Tour? Are we turning into the blue collar tour?
The second job tour.
Yeah.
Right.
And he finds himself after a bogey free, phenomenal round of 5 under 66 with a chance to really, in a season filled with long shots, be the biggest surprise.
And it would be a surprise. Now, look, you've been playing on the Korn Ferry Tour for a long time, the way he has. It means two things. One, you're really good at golf. Really, really good at golf. Two, you're not that good at golf. Right? Because you're not, like, it's not a good thing to be the career money winner. On
it's a backhanded compliment. But many tour really legend Eric Cole.
It's really hard to do. So there's that kind of dichotomy. Are you really good enough? But you look at what he's done so far this week, and he's played the par fives really well in both round one and today. He made birdie on all three of them. There's only, you know, the 12 opportunities. I guess he's had 9 opportunities on par fives. He's 8 under on the par five so far. And for the week, he's sitting at 13 under. So he's done a lot of his work on par fives. And that's exactly what you do, right? You go in there and make a nice putt at number one, and then you take care of the par fives and you add another birdie in there somewhere, and you've played a great round. He scrambled when he had to, got lucky when he needed it, like 18. 18 was extremely lucky to carry the bunker, to carry the water into the bunker. And the bunker shot was so sweet. That long bunker shot from the front of the green could have gone in. It was a sweet shot. So a little mix, right? You have some smart play. You got some scrambling. He holds some nice putts, some really nice par saving putts. And he played smart. And all of a sudden, it's 66, and you're in a tie for the lead going into Sunday.
It's pretty insane. I mean, his first stroll around, this is his second stint on the PGA Tour. He first came out in 2022, went back to the Korn Ferry Tour in 2023, where he won again. But his first stint on the PGA Tour, it was really bad. Like, really bad. And even this season, 4 starts, 4 missed cuts. His iron play was actually somewhat decent in Mexico, so he's carried that over. But it's just, it would be a great story. I'm rooting for the 42-year-old. I think it would just be awesome for him to break through. Greg, another trivia question for you.
Okay.
No pressure on this one, since you got the other one correct. Official money won by David Skins in his PGA Tour career.
It's going to go up after this week. It's not much. Mm-mm. It's not much. What, $46,000?
Oh, you undersold him. $275,000.
All right. Yeah, I undersold him by quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, so I thought he's made what, 13 cuts on the PGA Tour?
13 cuts.
Yeah.
So I guess what?
That was bad thinking by me.
It's about what, 20 grand per cut? Little 22 grand per cut, about?
Yeah. There, early weekend tee times.
Yep. All righty. Let's, Josh, let's get into the betting favorites of the Cognizant Classic. Let's see where they stand. We got Shane Lowry +175, Ekrot 3-1, David Skins, put some respect on his name, odds makers, 7.5-1, Min Woo Lee 12-1, Kevin Yu 25-1, Perez 28, Jacob Bridgman, Greg's best friend 35, and Marty Laird 40-1. Greg, are you going to go with one of the three at the top, or are you going to get a little spicy, maybe?
Well, I think Shane Lowry's going to win. Okay, but if I'm going to get away from that, I'm going to get away from the top. And I got a couple guys I'm interested in each category, if you will. So in the 13 unders, I like Lowry. In the 10 unders, I like Kevin Yu. In the 9 unders, I like Andrew Novak a lot. And I like Andrew Novak a lot. So he's
gonna
excited.
Dip to eight. Are you going to dip to eight?
Yeah. You know who it is. Maybe you don't.
I know who it is. Tell the viewers, though, because I already know who it is. You know that I know that you know who it is.
I don't think you know who it is.
Come on, Greg.
Matthew Pavone.
Oh.
Yeah, you didn't know.
I was thinking.
Nap time?
Yeah, I was thinking Sean Parker, Napster, Jake Knapp. You see that connection there?
Yeah, I suppose so. Love Jake Knapp's game. It's sweet. It's fun to watch him perform like that this year. But Matthew Pavone's just so underrated this year. All he's done is contend. Disappointing double today at 16. If he was at 10 under, I'd be all over this. We would have spent a lot of time on him. But he made a similar mistake to Rory McIlroy from the fairway, which is unlike him, because his play has been just stellar in every area of the game. So, yeah, I guess Lowry, Novak, Kevin Yu, Matthew Pavone.
Okay. And, I mean, tons of rankings going out. I was kind of doing a ranking show last night. And based on a couple of them, FedEx Cup, Matthew Pavone, best player in the world. Based on what have you done for me lately, Jake Knapp, best player in the world, both around 90-1. But if I'm going someone near the top, I honestly might bet Jake Knapp. I'm going to go with Minwoo Lee. I think he's a momentum guy.
Yeah. You he's just very think it's going to get wild guy. Tomorrow.
It could just get so weird. And if he somehow makes 7 birdies tomorrow, let the chips fall wherever they may, honestly. But I just love the firepower.
If Minwoo Lee wins tomorrow, it will be one of the most exciting tournaments we've seen in a long time.
And it's
I just don't think there's any way around it.
Might be rooting for. If not Lowry, they might be rooting for Minwoo.
Like if David Skins wins, it's a great story. But the drama coming down the stretch, I mean, if David Skins wins, it's simple. Right, his round of golf is really simple. If Austin Ekroat wins, it's a lot of fairways and greens. You know, it's a simple round. But if Minwoo Lee wins, or somebody that's 8 under or farther back, if one of those guys win, it's just mayhem, and that could be really cool.
It could be great. I'm rooting for Skins. I hope somehow he does it. But I don't think you will in the end. Your pick of Shane Lowry is probably the correct one. But you got
but also the boring one.
You got anything else for the viewers? What's on your Saturday night docket in the Ducharme household?
I think I'm going to get down the street. My wife and kids are at a neighbor's house right now. So I'm probably going to go over there.
Okay.
Hang out a little bit. Get the kids to bed. I may follow suit. I'm a sleepy boy today. So I may get in there. I'm before 10 o'clock tonight. No question.
All righty. Well, I think that's all we have. I'm a pre 10 o'clock guy too. This was your round 3 recap for the sleepy boy, Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at @TheRealGFD. I am Patrick McDonald. You can find me at @PMcDonaldCBS. This was your round 3 recap of the Cognizant Classic, the First Cut podcast. We'll be talking to you guys tomorrow.
Original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out. And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount+.